This podcast is a production of Bridges Church. Please visit us at www.bridgeschurch.net.
We've been adding some new things in the silent auction. You can find it all on that website, btgwinstonsalem.net. There's things in the store. There's different projects, kind of track some of the experiences that are happening. So check that out. And the other big thing with your social media, if you will send that out, that's even better. Let people know what's going on so they can connect as well. Okay? All right, so you got all that. Everybody good? Bible's open, Colossians chapter 3, whether it's on your phone or the actual physical one. We're going to end up there in a minute. As we get there, this is the last in this series. We're talking about who we are in Christ, who we really are, right? Not who we think we are, not who our parents maybe told us we are, maybe not what someone told us something that's stuck in our mind and kind of defeats us, not that, but who we are in Christ. And this week, I found out a word I didn't know, and it's a thing that I kind of deal with. So I'm just going to be open and share it with you, okay? It's called doom scrolling. Anybody know what doom scrolling is? All right, it's a new thing. It's actually a tendency that people have. Maybe you do this. Maybe you're doing it right now. Doom scrolling is this. It's when you're on your phone, typically right before you go to bed, but it can happen throughout the day, and you're looking at all the headlines of the news, and you're scrolling through all the different headlines, and it's the infinite scroll. You know, they've invented the infinite scroll where it never stops. And they put enough good news to keep you watching. So you just go through and you see all the headlines and stuff. And what's happening to people are doing it right before they go to bed. And they're seeing all the bad news. And they can't sleep. And their anxiety level's going up. And their depression is going up. And like mental health issues are springing from that one thing called doom scrolling. It's like we can't stop on our phones. We keep looking at all the bad news. And the reason that we do this, one of the reasons we do this, there's a lot of bad news if you look out. But something else is your brain is wired for bad news. Did you know that? God kind of put it in there into us for a reason. Is because if you think about it, in the early days of human beings, you'd walk out of your tent or outside the cave, and on the right-hand side would be a beautiful sunrise. On the left-hand side would be a lion ready to eat you. And your brain had to decide, which one do I pay attention to right now? I need to know one of these two things. Which is it? I'm going to stand here and look at the sunrise, or I'm going to notice there's a lion, I need to get back in the cave. And so your brain is wired to look at the lion and go, I better deal with this bad thing first so I can survive. Well, here's the thing with doom scrolling or any bad news. People are constantly going, I've got to find out what's going on out there so I can protect myself. I need to find out what I need to do, what I need to avoid. I need to find out what I need to add. I need to know where not to go. I need to know where to go. I need to know what I should spend my money on or what I shouldn't. I need to know if I need to stockpile something because, like, remember the early days when all the toilet paper was gone, which we can't figure out still why, but we had to watch those things because I have to get ahead of the crew, right? I go buy it first, and so I've got to survive. And we built that into ourselves going, I need to take care of myself. And it causes anxiety and it causes mental health issues because it's constant. I've got to be on, I've got to be on, I've got to be taking care of this. And this is part of who we are as humans. But is that part of our identity? I mean, there was a poem written by a guy named William Henley. William Henley, in the Victorian age of English poetry, dealt with some real health issues. He lost a leg. He was about to lose another one. And he wrote a poem called Invictus. Maybe you've heard that before. They actually made a movie with that title about nothing with the poem, okay, about rugby. But there was a poem. There was a called Invictus. And basically, in the poem, he shakes his fist at God. And he shakes his fist at his circumstances of all the tough things he's been through. And the last two lines of the poem are pretty famous. Maybe you've heard these. I am the master of my fate. I am the captain of my soul. Have you heard that before? A lot of you have. I'm the master of my fate. I'm the captain of my soul. In other words, I'm in charge. If I don't do it, no one is going to do it. If I don't protect myself, no one else is. I have to be in charge. I have to be in control. I have to be the master of my fate. I have to be the captain of my soul. It's part of our culture, whether you know it or not. That's part of who we are because we grew up in this particular culture. We're taught that, right? Independence. Take charge. Be the person who makes it happen. And yet, what does the Bible say about that? And what does it say about us? And if you're a mom today, what does it say about you being a mom? If you're a grandparent today, what does it say about being a grandparent? If you're a husband, what does it say about being a husband that's constantly, I need to be in control or be in charge? If you're a teacher, if you're an employer, We're an employee. What does that say about you? And what are you saying about yourself? Well, let's look at what God has to say. And I hope today this passage we're going to look at gives you some comfort, gives you some ideas. So Colossians chapter 3, we're going to look at that, kind of break this apart a little bit, go a little bit deeper in this as we wrap up this series called Identity. So Colossians chapter 3, 1 through 4, written by Paul to a church in Colossae. And this is what he wrote. If then you have been raised with Christ, seek the things that are above, where Christ is, seated at the right hand of God. Set your mind on things that are above, not on things that are on the earth. For you have died and your life is hidden with Christ in God. When Christ, who is your life, appears, then you also will appear with him in glory. And before we kind of dissect that a little bit and look at our outline, I just want to pause in prayer. Can we do that? Let's pray. Father God, as we wrap up this series, you tell us who we are because you made us and you know everything about us. You know why we're here. You know our gifts and talents and abilities. You know our weaknesses. You know where our mind is right now. You know how we think about ourselves, the different voices that speak into who we are. And Father God, I pray that you will speak louder and that your voice will rise above all the other voices and all the other things that try to speak into us, that we may know who we are in Christ. And we pray this in his name. Amen. On your outline today, we're going to work through three things that really speak to our identity in Christ, who we are and who that God wants us to be, all taken from this one passage. And the first one is one we've worked through all 8 weeks, okay? So number one on our outline, who we are in Christ, is pretty simple. In Christ, we have a new life and a new focus, right? That's where we've been each time. That in Christ, we become new people. In Christ, when we're baptized, we die to self and we rise to new life. We give up who we used to be, how we used to think, how we used to prioritize, how we used to see ourselves and how we see the universe, and we become a new person who looks at things differently, who sees ourselves differently, who sees other people differently, who sees the future differently, and who sees life and death differently. That's the whole point of being a new creation. We don't think. We're not supposed to think and be like we used to be. Paul wrote this in Galatians 2:20. He kind of stays on this theme quite a bit in his work, in his writings that were inspired by the Spirit. Galatians 2:20 wrote, I have been crucified with Christ. I died with him. He died, I die. And a lot of times we try to hang on to the old life, but he says it is no longer I who live, but Christ. Christ is the one that's living in me. And the life I now live in the flesh, I live by faith in the Son of God who loved me and gave himself for me. I think we're all on a continuum of that, right? We're on a continuum of how much we're living in the old life and how much we're living in the new life. Paul says, I died. There's kind of a mark in the ground. And this is where I used to be, and now this is where I am, but it's all about Christ now. It's him living in me. It's him making it happen. It's him that's designing who I'm going to be and who I am. And that's what he was all about in his life. It's kind of like, and I don't know how you guys are this, in our backyard, we have a butterfly bush. Anybody else have one of those? I think they're the coolest things in the world. My dad had one in his yard. We inherited it when we moved into the house. I didn't know what it was until it bloomed and the hummingbirds came and now the butterflies are coming. And butterflies are some of the coolest things in God's creation, aren't they? I mean, they start off as an egg. Egg hatches, and then you've got a caterpillar, which isn't too pretty, right? I mean, nobody keeps caterpillars for pets that I know of. You don't look at a caterpillar and go, that's the most beautiful thing in the world. And what do? They live like on one particular bush in one particular place, and they eat, and they eat, and they eat, and they destroy our crops, right? And they destroy our plants, and they just eat. And then they go into this stage where they become part of a cocoon, the pupa stage. They disappear for a while. And in some ways, it's like they're dying. Because when they emerge, they're something totally different, right? They're a butterfly. Looks totally different. Now it has wings, and now it no longer lives on the ground and no longer lives on the leaf or that one little spot. Now it can go anywhere, and it looks beautiful. And people go, wow, look at what God did. And every time I see that, I'm reminded of how God wants us to look at ourselves. Like, this is the way I used to be. I used to have an earthly mindset. I used to notice the things around that were only here, but now I live differently. I kind of live above everything. I can kind of see differently. And according to God, we're beautiful. We're beautiful creations because of Christ. And when we're that way, we develop a new way of thinking. In Colossians 3, 1 and 2, I want to read it now from the Amplified version. I love the Amplified because it'll take some of the Greek words and it'll give you a couple of meanings. And they're always in brackets, always in parentheses to tell you, hey, this is just a new way of looking, a different way to translate it. So verses 1 and 2 in Amplified. Therefore, if you've been raised with Christ to a new life, sharing in his resurrection from the dead, which is glorious, isn't it? That here on this earth, we get to share in his resurrection from the dead. Keep seeking the things that are above. Keep your mind up there, where Christ is seated at the right hand of God. Next verse says, set your mind, develop a new mindset, and keep focused habitually on the things above. Keep thinking habitually, constantly, new way of thinking on the heavenly things, not on the things on the earth, which have only temporal value. You ever find yourself worried about things that aren't going to last? Like every day, right? The things that we get focused on, there's going to be something new tomorrow and something new after that and something new after that. But we get so focused and so agitated about some of these things. It's like, got to fix this. Got to take care of it. Somebody's got to deal with this. I got to write something. And Paul says, wait a minute. That's not where you really are anymore. You're going to be up there. So put your mind up there where things are eternal. Take your mind off of here and put it there. Tomorrow for our family, we start vacation week. A lot of people are gone this week and the next week and that kind of week. So it's one of those times where everybody's going. Tomorrow morning, Lord willing, if it all works, we have a group going to go in the New River. We're kayaking about 10 miles. Looking forward to that. It's supposed to be beautiful weather. And then after that, on Tuesday, my family and I were going, first of all, to D.C., and then we're going to Baltimore, about an hour away. And the thing that we're going to do is go to baseball games, okay? We've been to Philadelphia, we've been to Atlanta, now we're going to go to see the Nationals play, and we're going to go see the Phillies play, and we're going to get souvenir cups, and we're going to eat while we're at the baseball game. We've kind of scattered some other things, but I've been looking forward to this while, because it's been a long year. It's been a long year for everybody, right? And if you haven't had your vacation yet, you're going, man, I need a vacation. For those of you on vacation, don't enjoy it too much, okay? We're still here, right? So those on vacation, you're probably, I'm so glad I'm here. You're at the beach, you're at the lake, you were everywhere. But do you ever do what I do? I start going on vacation before I go on vacation. You guys like me? I mean, like my mind is halfway there now, I will tell you. Because this is what I did. I mean, we're going to the New River tomorrow. So you know what I did yesterday and this morning? I watch YouTube videos. This is where I'm going to be. And I watch how they went. And I go, I can kind of picture this. I know where I'm going. I saw the trees. I saw the river. I saw the sky. I go, I think we can do this. It's going to be fun. And then I did something fun for the baseball games. There's a cool website called SeatGeek. All right? Get a free plug for you guys today. What you can do on SeatGeek is they give you a map of the stadium. You click on a seat, and then a picture comes up. This is the view from that seat. So you can go, okay, I don't like that view. How about this section? And then you move around, then you compare the prices and go, yeah, I like this one. I don't like, that's too much of an angle. I want to see this player. And so you can see it before you're there. And everything I'm doing, I'm looking at TripAdvisor. Anybody else look at TripAdvisor? Top 10 things to do in Baltimore, right? I've never been to Baltimore. If you've ever been, come tell us what it's like. So I've been scouting this stuff out for the last, I don't know how many months. But I've already been there, right? My mind in many ways is on the future, what we're going to do. And I can picture it. And Paul says, live your life like that. We get so caught up in the everyday mundane things that we begin to go, I don't even think about heaven. But Paul says, put your mind up there because that's where eternity is. Everything else we pay attention to will not last. So put your mind on things above. The people who get this the best have it the hardest in life. Have you ever met anybody that just has a very difficult life and they talk about heaven a lot and they go, I can't wait to get there because when I get there, things are going to be so much better. And in some ways, difficulties make us go, okay, one day this will be over. This too will pass. But up there, it's going to be really, really good. Paul, again, spends a lot of time talking about this and writing about it. 2 Corinthians 4, 17 and 18, he says this, for this light momentary affliction. He's such an underestimator. I mean, Paul, like, he was stoned to death, right? Everybody thought he was dead, and they drag his body out, and he comes back to life. He kind of wakes up, and they go, okay, he's all right. Let's take him on with us. But I mean, he was killed. The worst thing I can ever think of is he reached into a pile of firewood and he got bit by a poisonous snake. That's like one of my big fears. I had to move wood this week, a pile, and I'm thinking, Paul, you know, he survived, maybe I'll survive too. But I mean, he's dangling a snake off his hands. He was beaten, he was imprisoned, he was put in stocks, his back was laid bare, he was cut off from society, he was forgotten by people. And he says, well, this light momentary affliction. That's how he looked at it, right? It's preparing us for an eternal weight of glory beyond all comparison. His mind was already there. As we look not to the things that are seen, but to the things that are unseen. Why? For the things that are seen are transient. They don't last. But the things that are unseen are eternal. They're eternal. Get your mind on the eternal things. The people near you have an eternal soul. The word of God is eternal. Jesus Christ is eternal. Heaven is eternal. Get your minds there. Set your minds there, because the way you set your mind is powerful. The power of the mindset is huge. There was a study done at Harvard with a doctor, Italian doctor, Dr. Benettini. And he was a thoracic surgeon. And I've not had thoracic surgery, but I heard it's some of the most painful that you can experience, because it takes so long to heal. It involves muscles that don't heal quickly, and it's just really hard to deal with. And what the experiment was that they did with the patients is after so long after the surgery, they would be given morphine. And they did it two ways. One way was, and they were both intravenous, they were both controlled by computer, but it was always for a set time. They told, you're going to get this dose of morphine at this time. One way was with a doctor standing there, and the doctor would say, you're about to get morphine, and it's going to take away your pain, and it's going to be better, and you're going to be on this path, and things are going to be good. The other one was, there was nobody in the room. It was just given to them on schedule, and they knew it was coming. It was huge in the results difference. The people who had the doctor there, they suddenly felt better. I'm good. And they suddenly felt like they had hope. And the people who just received it without anybody there to tell them that, they suffered pain. They kept asking for more medication, and they didn't heal as quickly. And there was nothing different about their medication. It was all the difference in their mindset. And it's not that your mind is lying to you. There's a power in the mind to control the body and control your emotions. And when your mind is set on a thing, like this person's here, they care, they're going to help me, then you heal quicker. If the person doesn't seem to care or not there at all, you don't heal as quickly because your mind is not ready. And Paul is saying, when you're in this world and you're dealing with all this junk, these light momentary afflictions, put your mind above. Now, Paul was writing in the New Testament, right? He had the Old Testament, though. And in the Old Testament, there's this wonderful picture of heaven. Isaiah 35, I'd never really paid attention to this. Isaiah 35, verses 4 through 10, Isaiah says, let me give you a picture of what it's going to be like so we can think that way. This is what Isaiah wrote. Say to those who have an anxious heart, all those that are worried, all those that are doom-scrolling, right? Be strong and fear not. Behold, your God will come with vengeance, with the recompense of God. He is coming back. I heard the other day that, like, this is all the unveiling. All the stuff we're unveiling. I don't know how much longer till Jesus comes. It could be this generation. It could be today. It could be 100 years from now. But what we're seeing today is a lot of the stuff that says it's getting closer. And all this stuff that we see will be gone. He says God will come again, and he will come and save you. And then he starts painting the picture of what it's going to be like. The eyes of the blind will be open. For every blind person, they go, there's hope. And the ears of the deaf unstopped. There's hope. Goes on, next verse. Then the lame man leap like a deer and go to the Olympics, right? Isn't that a cool thing if you're struggling with that? And the tongue of the mute sing for joy. So people like me will be able to sing in heaven. That's awesome. For waters break forth in the wilderness and streams in the desert. There's going to be gardens where there's wastelands now. The burning sand will become a pool. It'll be beautiful. And the thirsty ground, springs of water. In the haunt of jackals where they lie down, the grass shall become reeds and rushes. Can you kind of picture that? Isn't that beautiful? I mean, just get that imagery. Next verse, and a highway shall be there. Not like Highway 40 or 421 or 52. None of those kind of dirty roads with all that noise. This is a beautiful path. And it shall be called the way of holiness. And the unclean shall not pass over it. It shall belong to those who walk on the way, those who are walking with Jesus, even if they are fools. One of my favorite parts, they shall not go astray. In other words, you're bad with directions, all right? If you're not really good with decision making, you're going to be okay. You can't get lost on this road, all right? So there's comfort for those that are like that. And no lion shall be, nor any ravenous beast come upon it. They shall not be found there. But the redeemed shall walk there. And the ransom of the Lord shall return and come to Zion with singing. And here's one of my favorite parts because it's not detailed. It just gives you broad strokes. Everlasting joy shall be upon their heads. It doesn't tell us how. It's just going to be there. We're going to be a joyful people. And they shall obtain gladness and joy, and sorrow and sighing shall flee away. None of the bad stuff. No more sorrow, sadding, no more being upset about the things of this world. That's all gone. Only the good stuff, only the good things will be left. And the writer is saying, this is what it's going to be like. And Paul's saying, focus on that. When things are tough, when things are bad, put your mind on that. Where God is going to take care of everything. There will be justice. He will take care of everything there. You just have to wait to get there. And heaven will be that place we're longing for. C.S. Lewis wrote this about that time. He says, hope is one of the theological virtues. In other words, hope for the future. This means that a continual looking forward to the eternal is not, as some modern people think, a form of escapism or wishful thinking. Some people say, well, you're just not thinking about the world. You know, that's just make-believe. He says, no, that's not it at all. But it's one of the things a Christian is meant to do. We're meant to think about the future, meant to think about heaven. It does not mean that we are to leave the present world as it is. In other words, we keep doing the food pantry. We keep doing the clothes closet. We keep striving for the child development program. We keep evangelizing. Why? So they'll know Jesus too. And so they'll be able to experience it too. So don't leave the world as it is. If you read history, you will find that the Christians who did most for the present world were just those who thought most of the next. Go through this world, continue to strive. You're going to have issues, but keep your mind on heavenly things. And that's the first thing. First part about being in Christ, we have a new life with a new focus. Second one is this, in Christ, we have this sense that our life is secure. Our life is secure. It's protected. Our life is secure in Christ. Go back to Colossians chapter 3, verse 3, this time in the Amplified. For you died to this world, and your real life is hidden with Christ in God. That word hidden is an interesting word. It doesn't mean just like you can't find it. Like, where's my life? I put it down, I can't find it. Like you put your keys or your phone, you ever done that? You ever had somebody call you or have them call you because you can't find your phone? Anybody ever done that before? A lot of us have. Can't find my phone, call me. He said, your life is not like that. It's not hidden. It's safe and secure in Christ. If you drive up Rinalda and you get off on Fairlawn and you go south on Silas Creek and just go under Rinalda again, or if you just look down, you'll see there's a white building off the side. You know what I'm talking about? They're doing construction. They're building a big wall there. And if you look at the building, it's just white. There's nothing to decorate it. There's nothing out in front to tell you what it is. And there's a gate to go through. I asked somebody, like, what is this place? And go, that's where the servers are for the bank center that's right above it. The servers are where all your information is. If you deal with this particular bank, your whole life is inside that building. And they put the walls up and they put the gate out to keep up to keep people out, right? But it's the software that's protecting it. That's like one of the most secure places. Wherever the servers are, it has to be secure. And if you have been hacked, and a lot of you have been hacked, right? Your information's out there. And I hate that little thing that says, the password you're using has been used somewhere else. Do not use it. Or it's been found to be hacked. I've gotten that a couple of times, like, do you change it or not? I don't know. It keeps in your brain, right? Is your information secure? It's a question. Well, here's the thing. In Christ, your life is secure. In Christ, your life is protected better than any bank. Better than any server, you are protected in Christ. 1 John 5:13, John wrote his whole little letter there we call 1 John for a reason. This is why he wrote it. I write these things to you who believe in the name of the Son of God. Why? That you may know that you have eternal life. He says, open the book, read this letter. That way you'll know you'll have eternal life. Because we all have to deal with that, right? Do I really believe in Jesus? Is my identity really in Jesus? If my faith is there, my trust in him is there, I know I have eternal life. I don't have to worry about this world. I know where I'm going. For those that aren't sure, this is a real wake-up call, right? Do I know? Am I secure in Christ? And John says, if you believe, if you put your faith there, then you're set. You're go. You may know that. 2 Corinthians 5, 1 and 5, Paul writing about the same thing. He says, for we know that if the tent, which he refers to as our body, Paul was a tent maker. And he says, okay, while you're in the world, you're really just a tent. So what we're looking at right now and the people, that's just the tent. And inside the tent is the spirit and soul. Okay, you guys knew that, right? And why a tent? Because it doesn't last. He said, know that the tent, that our earthly home is destroyed, we have a building from God. A house not made with hands, eternal in the heavens. And then verse 5, he who has prepared us for this very thing is God, who has given us the Spirit as a guarantee. So Paul uses this imagery of a tent. He goes, look, your body's just a tent, and it houses the Spirit. And tents are not great for securing things. You can't leave your phone in the tent. You can't leave your keys in the tent because people can break into a tent. You got to keep it with you. It's not secure. Here, you're not as secure, but when you're there, you're going to be secure. And the life inside of you now is secure in Jesus, because if you have the Spirit, you've got a guarantee. If the Spirit of God lives in you, you're guaranteed. You're good. The Scriptures tell us no one can snatch us out of the Father's hand. The Spirit is a guarantee. If you don't have the Spirit, if you haven't committed your life to Christ, if you don't have that faith, then you got to make sure that you take that step or you don't experience it. You will not experience. You don't have that trust. You don't have that assurance. But in Christ, when we're walking in Christ, when our lives are given to Christ, we are secure and we can be okay. And we know where we're going and we know the future. The last one, as we wrap up this series, in Christ, not only do we have a new life with a new focus, not only is our life secure, but in Christ, Christ is our life. He is our life, and that is huge. Verse 4 of chapter 3, again, the Amplified Version says this, with Christ who is your life appears, then you also will appear with him in glory, when he is your life. So the question is, what is your life? What is your life? Where is your life? Is it in the temporal or is it in the eternal? Is it in Jesus? And that's the big question, this series. On the way out of town on Mountain View, if you ever go that way, out past King, kind of toward Hanging Rock, as you drive through, there's a valley that I call the Valley of the Lost Cars, okay? There is a junkyard there. I don't know how long it's been there. I think since the turn of time. And there are cars there from every era, right? I think they put them there starting in the 30s or 40s, maybe back when cars were invented. You can kind of see the progression as it goes through. And they're hulks of cars. They're just pieces of cars, right? You can go in there and find parts, I think, for everything. And then it gets a little newer and newer. But it goes on forever. They're all tucked under trees and down in these valleys. And I thought one day that car came off the assembly line. And it was brand new. And it was beautiful, right? And somebody drove it out, and somebody had it, and they went to their first date on that, and they took their kids here and there, and they had a great time, and then it got old, and they put it there, and it's not going to last. Things in this world don't last. Last Sunday, for part of the 100-mile challenge, we went to the Eno River State Park, which is over near Durham. Beautiful park, and it follows along a river, the Eno River, and on the trail, there's a couple of markers, and they said, here stood a mill. There used to be a mill there, and they used to crank out different kinds of flour, right? They used the water energy to do that. And then you stand there and go, there's nothing here. I don't know if I believe you or not. There really was a mill here, and there's not even a stone there. It's just like, here's a plaque. They could tell me anything was there. One day, somebody worked in that place, and they lived there, and they went to work every single day. Somebody built that with their hands, and now it's gone. And we think about our houses living forever, and they won't. And our cars don't live forever. They won't. The only thing that lives forever is our eternal souls, right? We get to choose where we spend it, with Jesus or apart from Jesus. And that's why identity is so important to understand. I want to close with a poem prayer. St. Patrick wrote this poem, and it really speaks to, I think, our world and who we are. And this is what he wrote. He said, Christ, shield me today against wounding. Protect me from all the stuff around. all the bad news, all the junk. Protect me, be my shield. And then he writes this, this is the famous part. Christ with me, Christ before me, Christ behind me. Christ in me, Christ beneath me, Christ above me. Christ on my right, Christ on my left. Christ when I lie down, Christ when I sit down. Christ in the heart of everyone who thinks of me. Christ in the mouth of everyone who speaks of me. Christ in the eye that sees me. Christ in the ear that hears me. I rise today through the mighty strength of the Lord of creation. Christ in me, Christ before me, Christ after me, surrounded by Christ, filled with Christ, living in Christ, belonging to Christ, forever with Christ. That's who we are in Christ. Put our minds there. So today, if you know Jesus, take your eyes off the stuff around us. We got to know it to live a little bit, but don't focus there. Don't live there. Live with him in eternity. And if you haven't made that decision to follow Jesus, maybe today is that day. I want to know this Jesus. I want to know that security that my life is locked in on him, that I don't have to worry about what happens after this world. I am secure in Christ. There is nothing better to give us peace except Christ. So let me close this in prayer, and wherever you are with that, maybe just a thank you to God for the security you have in Christ, the life you have in Christ, the future you have in Christ, the hope you have in Christ. And if you haven't given your life, maybe today is that day where you just want to receive him. So let's pray together. Father God, in the midst of this moment, just speak to us. Remind us of your promises. That if anyone is in Christ, he is a new creation. The old is gone, the new has come. And that's what we live in, Father God. We are new creations with a hope for heaven, with an eye on the future and the better things that you have for us. May we live here in this earth to accomplish your will with a mindset focused on heaven and how beautiful it's going to be and the eternity we are assured of. And Father God, for those who know you and are in Christ, I pray for a sense of gratitude just to overwhelm us, a sense of joy and happiness that even in the midst of a broken world, we have a future and we can start living in it now with our minds there and our hearts there and experiencing heaven on earth because of our relationship with you. And I pray for those that haven't made that decision yet, Father. It's just so simple. Just, Jesus, I believe. I want you in my life. I want to live in you. I want to know that my future's secure. I want to know that I will be with you in heaven. I want to know that my sins are forgiven. So for those that need to pray that prayer today, Father, may they walk out of here with new life, a new sense of purpose, a new destiny, a new eternity, a new mindset. So Father, just continue to lead us by your Spirit. We open our hearts to you, and we pray this in the name of Jesus. Amen. Before we go to a time of communion, just a reminder that after the service, we're always available to pray with you, pray for you, pray for people that you know that need prayer. I'm going to be in the room up near the front. You just come and talk or anything else going on. If you're online and you want to connect with us, info@bridgeschurch.net. Send us a request. Send us your phone number. Or just say, hey, I want to meet with Patrick, and then we'll contact you and set up a time. But we want to be here for you and pray with you. Today for communion, if you haven't gotten it already, it's back on the tables back there. And just want to continue this theme, Philippians 3, 20 and 21. Paul again writing, inspired by the Spirit, says this, but our citizenship is in heaven. In other words, that's where we belong. And from it, we await a Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ, who is coming back, right? And what he's going to do, he's going to transform our lowly body to be like his glorious body. Even by the power that enables him even to subject all things to himself. When Jesus died and he rose again, he rose to heaven and he received his glorious body. And that's what we're going to see and that's what we're going to experience when we go to heaven. And he said the same thing's going to happen to you and to me. And the brokenness we experience now, we will not experience there. And in some ways, communion's kind of like a precursor of that, right? It's simply the bread and the juice. The body and the blood of Jesus that has been transformed. And it's a reminder that we will be transformed as well because of what Jesus did on the cross. So as you take that today, just kind of let that settle in. The bread and the juice represents his body given for me so that I can get a new body and a new life in heaven. Let's pray together. Father God, over this time of communion, we just turn it over to you and just give us a glimpse of who you are and what it's going to be like when we're with you and see you face to face. I thank you for the little glimpses, the little open windows, the little just snapshots of what heaven's going to be like. And I pray for that day when we experience it together in joy and in happiness, without sorrow or sighing. We look forward to that day, Father. But while we're on the earth, may we live out your will completely and fully till you call us home or till Jesus comes again. And we pray this in his name. Amen.